Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake joined by Matt, as always. Today is May 18th when we're recording, probably listening to it at the earliest on Friday the 19th. A lot going on. College baseball is heating up, everyone's favorite sport. A lot going on in Major League Baseball. There are hockey playoffs happening. I don't know what's going on in them, but there are. I think the Hurricanes are doing well, the Carolina Hurricanes. Or maybe they're just the Canes. They have to be the Hurricanes, right?
I'm pretty sure they're the Hurricanes.
They have to be the Hurricanes. It's weird because, so the Carolina professional teams, there's the Panthers and the Hurricanes. And then in Miami, it's the Florida Panthers as a hockey team. And the Hurricanes are the, I mean, college, but everyone associated with football. So they kind of flip mascots there.
Yeah.
But that's the hockey talk. We're going mostly an NBA playoff. The draft lottery happened. A lot going on in the conference finals that we're going to talk about. And I think an interesting top five, one that I'm very passionate about at the end of the episode. So a lot to look forward to. Before we dive into that, Matt, anything we want to cover here? We haven't really seen each other I was going to say all day, but really all week.
Yeah, I've had kind of a crazy week just helping mom babysit our nephew Billy just because I get off work earlier than you.
Our little brother went to India for Mother's Day, so he left, I mean, I was going to say our mom, more importantly, his wife and kid on Mother's Day.
Yeah, so good work, Jesse. I mean, yeah, so he is technically doing humanitarian work in India, but...
Well, he's not going to listen to this, so we can rag on him.
That's true. He definitely is not going to listen.
No, he's not a huge sports guy.
In fact, you know what we should do? We should say something about him every week and just see how long it takes.
Like right at the start of the episode?
Yeah, before someone figures it out.
To be in your segment. Start it off with what Jesse did wrong that week, and yeah, with the top five.
I like it. Let's do it.
Sweet. Well, let's talk. We're going to talk about track after the college national championship. We're going to talk about college baseball probably after the selection, so after the conference tournament, just because as much as I enjoyed it, I recognize people aren't as into it. Our TV's broken, so the NBA game two of the conference finals when the Lakers and Nuggets is going on right now. For some reason, ESPN Plus is working, but not ESPN. So we're watching Oklahoma State, Oklahoma instead of the Lakers game. But we are up to date on basketball. Let's start with the Celtics series, though, Matt, because that's the one I'm more interested in. And let's call it the Heat series, to be fair. They won game one, had a 46-point third quarter, a dominant third quarter. Jason Tatum, I think, had one shot attempt in the fourth, either one or zero. The talk of the town in that Celtics series, game one, Eric Mazzulla, is Eric's his first name?
I believe so.
Mazzulla, the head coach for the Celtics. In that 46-point quarter, he didn't call a timeout.
Yeah, why would he, right?
Why would he? And I don't know what to make of it other than objectively, Celtics weren't planning on him. They lost Will Hardy to the Jazz, who was kind of the coach in waiting. I don't know coach in waiting, but grooming to be the next head coach for the Celtics. But the Celtics had Ime Udoka, who was hypothetically going to be there forever, until they had the scandal right before the season starts. So Mazzulla's kind of thrown in there. And I don't know enough about NBA to know what makes a good coach or a bad coach, but I know Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league. And people who are smarter than me are saying Mazzulla's in over his head.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He definitely has the better team, right? So it is weird. I still think the Celtics are going to win this series, even though Mazzulla is maybe not as experienced as you would like. You know, he's still got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the team together, and that's certainly a better duo than Jimmy Butler with whoever we would pair him with. I mean, certainly Bam Adebayo, but, you know, Al Horford, for whatever reason in the playoffs, has still got it, at least with Joel Embiid.
Here's the thing, though. Does anyone turn it on more in the playoffs than Jimmy? Most people go the other way.
Yeah, that's true. No, yeah, playoff Jimmy is a totally different beast, and I think me and you are higher on Jimmy Butler than most people are. I think we both really love Jimmy.
I just think Jimmy, obviously, LeBron in the playoffs is a better player, but the gap, Jimmy has a higher raise from regular season to playoffs.
Yeah.
And most people, like Embiid and Harden, are going the other way. in the playoffs. You know, most people do go the other way once they get to the playoffs. And Jimmy just has this drive, this I'm not going to lose, that I don't know. I thought the Heat were going to win before the series started. They won game one and looked really good in that second half doing it.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident. Not like a locked in or anything, because obviously Boston can come back. But I feel pretty confident in the Heat winning. They have a better head coach, last player. Like, if 2 minutes or less, I trust Jimmy more than Jason Tatum, even though Jason Tatum's a, quote, better player.
Yeah. I guess I think another thing that we're maybe forgetting, or at least I haven't heard talked about quite so much, is that the Celtics just had a 7-game series with the Sixers, who are a really, really good team, even if they're not as good as they were a couple of years ago. And the Heat, you know, just had several rest days after playing with the Knicks. And so I think that the Heat were more physically ready. They had more time to mentally prepare for the series, which is an advantage. That's why you want to win your series quick, right, as you get that. But I think now, actually in the series, I think that the Celtics are going to be able to adjust. I'll tell you what, it's probably going to be the most important game two of the whole playoffs. Because I think if the Celtics win game two, they have a really, really good chance to win. But if the Heat win, they're up 2-0 going to Miami. I don't think they sweep the Celtics in that scenario, but I think probably, the Celtics are in a lot of trouble.
Probably come back to Boston in a 3-1 hole.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Let's say Miami wins game two. What would you put the odds at Miami winning the series? 1 to 10. 10 being it's already over.
Of Miami winning the series if they're up 2-0?
Yeah.
I would say 7. I want to say 8.
About 7's not like that high.
Yeah, 7.5. I just feel like the Celtics are such a better team, and I know that the Heat are great playoff team, great playoff coach, great playoff players. I don't know. I also don't think they're quite as deep as the Celtics are, which, you know, again, this game one, after having those days of rest, it's better. It helps to have had a big rest. By the time we get into game five, game six, I think you got to start going to that bench more, and I think they get in a little bit of trouble.
I just don't. If Miami wins game two, I don't see Jimmy losing 4 out of 5 in a row.
That's fair.
And 3 of those 5 would be in Miami.
Yeah.
Is my thing. So I would put it like a 9 if they win game two.
Uh-huh.
Now, if Boston wins, it's tied 1-1. I'm still going to favor the Heat, but I'd drop it to like a 6.
Yeah, I would put the Celtics at probably a 7. So again, still not sure. I think this is going to be a longer series than, you know, I probably thought it was going to be at the beginning. And I think a lot of people thought it was going to be at the beginning. I think it'll be 6 or 7 games for sure. I would probably say 6, but yeah, this is interesting. I think it's a lot more fun than a lot of people thought they were going to be, just because you see the Heat as an 8 seed and you don't take them seriously, but they're still a Heat.
Now, we go to the West. Anything on this before we go to the West series?
I'm good.
So at some point from the regular season to now, Jokic became not good enough to be MVP to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or something like that. Like, everybody's, like, whipped on Jokic after game one.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. He's very good, but didn't we, like, know he was good already?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, well, I don't know, and maybe he was mad that he didn't win the MVP, so he's turned it up a notch.
I don't think what happened the year before should affect the current year's MVP voting at all.
Yeah.
I think that happens more in the NBA than everywhere else, but I think Mahomes should have way more MVPs than the one that he does the regular season. I think Westbrook should either have 0 or 3, but not 2.
Mm-hmm.
If he was going to get the first 2, he should have gotten the third one.
Yeah.
He shouldn't. I would say 0, but he should have got all 3 of them since we were doing that. Jokic didn't get MVP because voters didn't want to give him 3 in a row. That's not what it is. Just who is the most valuable player in the year is my thought.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, there's a big part of me that thinks LeBron James should have 15 MVPs.
Yeah.
Like 16 in a row, except for that 1 year that Steph was unanimous.
I agree. I think Kobe, I mean, if you actually go year by year, Kobe did have, like, a lot of competition every year, but it sucks that Kobe only has one. Right. I think career-wise, he should probably have a few more, but he actually does. I think the one where it's, like, real argument is the Nash one, that Nash beat him. I don't remember what year that was, like, 06 or something like that?
Yeah, it was around there, for sure.
Or whatever. But, yeah, LeBron and Mahomes should have way more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout should have more than he does in baseball. Baseball's harder. Basketball's the easiest, I think. It's just who's the best player.
Right.
And in the NBA, it's been the best player on one of the top three teams in each conference. That's why Westbrook, I don't think, should have gotten it. That first year, they were six in the West.
Yeah.
That has never happened in NBA history, but Durant just left and he averaged a triple-double. We just, like, liked the idea of that.
Well, I think, I don't know, it'd be interesting to watch those games and look at that team again. But I remember the time people didn't think that the Thunder were going to make the playoffs necessarily. And I think that team without Westbrook would have been, you know, 14th in the West, right?
Yeah.
So, but, and that's another thing is, like, is valuable, like, who helps their team the most? In that case, I think Westbrook did have a really, really good case for it that year.
I agree with you. The only reason I say didn't, just because that was, I think, literally the first time in NBA history that the player wasn't on one of the top three teams in their conference.
Uh-huh.
Which is different than just not voting for a guy because he won the year before. That's just showing, like, in this league, your team has to have real team success. I don't necessarily agree with that. I would lean more with you. It's like, who is just the best player, like, or the most valuable player? Who helped their team the most? But the NBA just hadn't been like that before.
Yeah, because it's like valuable. If it's valuable, there's a difference between valuable and best, right? Because I think there's an argument that Simmons was better than Mitchell in that Rookie of the Year thing. I don't agree with it, but I think there's an argument that he was better. I think there's no argument that Simmons was more valuable than Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell was way more valuable to the Jazz.
Well, there's also no argument Simmons wasn't a rookie, if we want to get into that.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, that's part of it. You know what I mean? It would be interesting to go back and look at, like, who have been the best players on the worst teams, you know?
Like, that missed the playoffs?
Yeah, or just, like, who, like, dragged a bunch of bums somewhere where they really don't belong.
I mean, LeBron.
Yeah.
Was the best one.
He'd for sure.
The captain of that team, I think. For sure. Honestly, the series, was it 08 when they lost to the Magic?
I believe, because that was, or when Kobe,
06 maybe?
It was one of the year, it was 07 or 08, because it was one of the years that Kobe won the finals.
I think we should give LeBron, like, half of a championship, or like a whole championship, just for getting to that point.
Yeah, because, like,
or like when they went lost in the Spurs, I think that should count for the people say that doesn't count for LeBron. Like, oh, he lost in the finals. Like, that is so impressive.
Yeah, because I've never understood why we punish LeBron for going farther than Michael Jordan, right? Why are we punishing him for beating these Eastern Conference teams when Jordan lost to the Pistons and the Celtics, right? Now, are those teams better than the teams that LeBron beat in the Eastern Conference? Yeah, they probably are. But LeBron still got farther, and he definitely had less.
For sure.
Like, Michael Jordan, like, it wasn't the 93 Bulls when Jordan lost to the Pistons, but they were good Bulls teams.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Nick Wright from Fox Sports pointed this out, is that LeBron's stat line in the NBA, like this year in the NBA playoffs, is his worst career playoff stat line. It's also almost identical to what Larry Bird averaged in the playoffs, like, for his career.
Yeah.
So, like, the worst playoff LeBron is Larry Bird, basically.
Yeah.
I still think, I understand we want to put Giannis ahead. I don't think I'm at a point where I can put Jokic ahead of LeBron.
As far as, like, who's a better basketball player?
Exactly, yeah. I think because of LeBron's age, we're going to rest him more. He's not going to have as much stats in the regular season. But you can't tell me one game you'd rather have Jokic over LeBron.
Well, yeah, one game I would still have LeBron over Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's flawed logic on my part, because I'd also pick Jimmy over Jokic for one game if it's right in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not the best logic on my part. But. Yeah.
I don't know, man. The more that I see LeBron and the more that I think about the stats, I really, really think that I have him ahead of Jordan as in far as who's had a better career.
I love Michael Jordan. I would have loved to see him play because I don't see how it could be better than LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and we've talked about this, I feel like, every other episode with the NBA playoffs, but LeBron in the playoffs, I've never seen, like, anything more impressive than that. Like, just literally dragging a team.
Yeah.
To where he wants to be and getting, oh, man, those Cavaliers were so bad.
Yeah, that, and even, like, the 15 finals when Kyrie and Kevin Love both went down.
No, yeah, that was his most impressive finals, I think, that where they lost 4-1 to the Warriors.
Yeah.
He did, literally, was doing everything.
Yeah, that was just absolutely incredible.
He averaged, like, I think 32 points, 30-something points, and Iguodala got the MVP for locking him down.
Yeah. Right.
It was insane.
So, do we think that he has enough still left to beat Jokic?
You know,
I guess is the question.
I'd like to think so. They are up right now by 7 in the third quarter. By the time we obviously finish recording, the game will be over. And when you guys are listening to this, I think if they win today, I mean, I don't know why we started doing this confidence meter for the NBA playoffs, but I like it. I think it's an easy way to do it. Let's say the Lakers win right now. Series tied 1-1 going back to L.A., I would put the confidence in the Lakers at a 7. If they lose, I would put it at, I think, a 5. I still think they can win those two in L.A. So, yeah, I think they can do it. I think Lakers can win. I feel like everyone else is picking the Nuggets because they have a better team and regular season a better player. And Jokic is good, so it's not like I'm trying to hate on Jokic. But yeah. If LeBron needs to turn it on, he can't.
Yeah, I picked the Nuggets to go to the finals at the beginning. And so for the beginning of the playoffs, you would have told me the Nuggets were tied 1-1 with the Lakers. I would have had the Nuggets at like a 7 or an 8 winning the series. Now, seeing how rough that first game was for the Nuggets, even though they did end up winning, I would probably put my confidence in the Nuggets at a 6 if they're 1-1. I still like the Nuggets. I think Jokic is, you know, not the best player in the series, but I think that he's still such a great player, and I think he can move the ball around so much around that Lakers defense that I'm still picking them to win, but I'm less sure than I was at the beginning of the playoffs.
Now, what are your thoughts on, let's play an over-under game. This off the top of my head, so you had no preparation for this. Austin Reeves' free agency contract, $15 million a year, more or less.
I mean, that, I've heard him getting more than that. So if I got 15, I mean, that seems like what he's worth. Somebody's going to give him that.
It only takes one team,
yeah,
right?
Somebody's going to give him that for sure. And if you're LeBron, it's like, hey, I got 4 years tops. Let's just give him the money, you know? So I think you got to do it.
Well, I mean, they could have done that with Alex Caruso too, though. Like, I agree with you. I just don't know if Lakers are going to do that because if they're doing that, I feel like they could have kept Alex Caruso.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. They should be more desperate now, just in that more time has passed.
Yeah, well, and this season's obviously going much better than last year did.
Yeah.
Obviously, Dream Finals is, I guess, Lakers anybody. I think I would want to see a rematch of the bubble finals, but obviously you can't argue with Lakers-Celtics in the NBA finals.
Lakers-Celtics would be a lot of fun.
I think objectively, I think most people hate the Lakers, but like objectively speaking, they would be better in the finals than the Nuggets, I think. The NBA would agree with me, for sure.
In terms of viewership, yeah. Yeah, viewership, absolutely. But I don't know, maybe this is their opportunity to market Jokic more because he's in Denver, which is, you know, even being the MVP, you're still in Denver. There's not a lot of people watching, which I think is why a lot of people possibly didn't pick him. Not the media, I mean fans weren't necessarily picking him as MVP.
Well, no one on the East Coast would ever watch any of his games because right. They start at like 10 o'clock there.
Yeah.
I've never understood how anyone watches anything on the East Coast.
I know, yeah. Because even the East Coast games are starting really late.
Yeah. Like. Seriously, like when we're in North Carolina, the basketball, it takes forever to start. Or, like, the football, the NFL doesn't start till 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
What do you do the whole day?
That's a long morning.
It's ridiculous. It's so nice just waking up. College football starts at 10 a.m. There's just football on. It's fantastic. Or the NFL, yeah, it's weird that the Mountain Time Zone is, you definitely think that's the best time zone to watch sports in. Yeah, teams in the Mountain Time Zone, partially because of the teams and the population, but I think by far get the least viewership.
Right.
It's a weird, weird conundrum.
It is weird. Now, is there, we're watching a baseball game, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Why is it that if there's a pitch change, that the coach has to walk all the way out to the mound? Does it make the pitcher feel better that the coach takes the effort to walk all the way out there?
I mean, technically, he has to take the ball from the pitcher and give it to the next guy. I don't know why that's a thing, why the pitchers just can't give the ball to each other.
Yeah, that seems like it could be a good rule change.
But that's what happens.
Interesting.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that seems like a... That seems like... What if they do a substitution and, like, if there's a, you know, like, they have these new things where, like, a pitcher has to face three batters, but it used to be a thing where, like, you'd be a left-handed pitcher against a right-handed batter, but then two left-handed batters were coming up, but you wanted to keep him in for the right-handed batter coming up, so you put him in left field. Does the coach have to take the ball from the batter, give it to the outfielder, and then go back again, or can the pitcher just give it to the outfielder?
I don't know if I've ever seen that scenario.
You've never seen that before?
I don't think so. Like, the pitcher plays left field for, like, two at-bats and then goes back?
I've seen it for one at-bat. I don't know if I've seen it for two now that you mention it, but...
Oh, I would love to see that. I think that'd be awesome.
I really think that... and maybe see it. Maybe the commentators were just talking about
it. So, like, for one at-bat, there's two pitchers on the field, but one of them they stick in left field?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I really... I'm pretty sure that I'm going to see
if I can just Google. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a crazy loophole that they can't... I guess at least MLB can't do anymore because of the three-batter rule.
Right.
I love the loophole, though.
Pitchers in right field. Yeah.
Hypothetically, I think... Well, no, because the pitcher would get subbed off and then, like, an outfielder from the bench would come on in that scenario. He'd still have to get the ball from the pitcher now. So he would have to do that still. The coach has to run on the field.
Interesting.
Did you see the pitch clock? I think it was Tulane, where the batter was in the box, but he wasn't ready at 8 seconds. But the pitcher wasn't even on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And they called a pitch clock violation on the batter.
Oh, which, really?
Technically, he wasn't ready. But the pitcher also has to be on the mound, and they have to be making eye... The rule is, like, the batter has to make eye contact with the pitcher. So neither of them were ready. I don't think it's fair for the bat. Maybe that's just the rules, that tie goes to the batter for the pitch count as well.
Right.
But then the pitcher could just stay off the mound the whole time.
Yeah, so, but, like, was he... When you say he wasn't ready 8 seconds, was he... he couldn't look at the pitcher, or he, like, not in the box?
He had, like, 1 foot in the box and 1 foot out of the box, but he, like, wasn't in his stance because the pitcher was, like, shaking talcum powder bag or whatever, like, off the mound.
Right.
So the batter was, like, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, had his bat, like, at his waist, just kind of standing there waiting for the pitcher to step on.
Yeah.
So he, like, could have gotten ready in, like, half a second. He just wasn't in the box. Tulane coach was not very happy.
So now do they got to make a rule where if you're a pitcher, you have to be on the mound with 12 seconds on the pitch clock or something?
I don't know. Because it's a crazy loophole where if that's like how it's going to be practiced, if I'm a pitcher, I just wouldn't step on the mound.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I think overall, because the games are way faster, so I think overall it's really good, but... There are some weird circumstances that are kind of a bummer.
Some kinks they got to work out.
Yeah. Should we get to the top five?
Let's do it.
So this is the top five this week. In honor of the new season of Queer Eye that might have come out a little bit before, but I just saw it this week on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the top five Queer Eye members.
I feel very knowledgeable about this one.
Such a fan. Literally, no, sir. I literally love the show. Matt can attest. I watch it all the time.
For sure.
Fantastic show.
Yeah.
I don't remember who got me into it, if I'm being honest. It was one of my friends. I just don't remember which one.
I feel like you were in Arizona at the time.
I was in Arizona. None of my friends watch it, so I'm trying to figure out why I started watching it. But someone got me into it. But here are the top five. And there's no, it's like not top five most productive, not top five I'd want to hang out with, just the top five. It's going to be based on just how I'm feeling.
Just vibes.
Just top five vibes.
To quote Annie.
Yeah. Number five, I'm going to put Karamo. And the reason why, seems like a great guy.
Sure.
He just literally doesn't do anything. He just plays paintball or goes to a bonfire or goes, literally, like, well, just go to the gym. Like, he just runs errands with the people.
Uh-huh.
Awesome guy. Easiest job, literally, in the entire world. And he only has to do it. They're there a whole week. He's with the people for, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Number four, I'll put Jonathan. Number three is tough. I think I'm going to put Tan. I really like him, but I think he does have an easier job. I like Tan as a, like, I'd rather hang out with Tan than Bobby, who's number two.
Uh-huh.
But Bobby has the hardest job by a mile. It's not even close. Everyone else, like, Karamo plays paintball. The other people, like, make sandwiches, like, go shopping and stuff.
Now, hypothetically, if our listeners didn't know what Bobby and Tan France did...
Oh, should I? Yeah, my bad.
That'd probably be good.
So, Karamo, I'll start from the top.
You also said for Jonathan, moving on.
Well, I was in thought about who I wanted number three. So, we'll circle back a little bit. So, Karamo, he's the, quote, culture guy. He literally will, like, talk people up, get kind of like a therapy session, basically.
Right.
Jonathan does the hair, does the styling. So, he does some good work. I'd love him to, at least make some suggestions on my hair product, stuff like that. Really good at his job.
Uh-huh.
He's the hair guy, grooming guy.
Yeah.
Number three is Tan France, who does fashion. He actually lives in Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
English, well, I think he's Pakistani, but his parents lived in England. But he lives in Utah. Married a cowboy from Wyoming.
So is it... Well, okay, wait. Hold on. We got to talk about this. So his... His name is not Tan, right?
That's his first name.
His first name is Tan.
Yeah.
Is his last name France?
Yeah.
So his last name is France from Pakistan.
One of his parents, at least, is from Pakistan.
Okay. Which was colonized by the English, and he lived in England.
His parents did. I'm not sure he did.
Sure.
No, he did. He grew up in England.
Okay.
At least for a little bit.
So Tan France of Pakistani heritage... Grew up in England and now lives in Utah. It's just a lot of place names associated with one person.
Yes.
Is all.
That's right.
So
okay. He does fashion. Most of my fashion is from him or my friend or my roommate in Arizona. That's like 90% of the clothes I wear.
Uh-huh.
Comes from those two.
Okay.
So I guess I should have Tan higher, but just Bobby, who's the construction guy, he literally renovates, redesigns the entire house. One time he tore down a whole barn. He did a fire department one time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like painting, bringing new appliances. The whole week, it's Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yeah.
Is what he has to do.
Right.
His interior design is impeccable. Really talented. Really smart. Super hard worker. He's lower on the list of people I'd want to hang out with than the other guys. But he just does so much for the show.
Yeah.
And number one is Anthony. I think he's just the complete package. We have his cookbook on the table that we're recording on.
Yeah. Well, we is strong. I don't know how much ownership. It's on the coffee
it's
table.
It's on the coffee table, yeah.
It's a fine book for the coffee table.
The books on our coffee table are Anthony's cookbook, the Black Mamba or Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant, and then like a Sports Illustrated photo. Have you looked in that photo book, by the way?
Just a little bit, not very much.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Anthony's awesome. I think it's because I have his cookbook. He's number one. So five, Karamo, who's culture. Four, Jonathan, who's the hair and grooming. Three, Tan, who does fashion. His nanny actually dated our best friend. And Garrett.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we don't really like the nanny that much.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Three, Tan. Two, Bobby. One, Anthony.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on a show you've never watched?
Well, I think that Tan living in Utah, we're going to put him number one.
Okay, so you're going 1-5.
Yeah, yep. Can I just give everybody else a tie for
if you want,
two? Yeah, because I just don't feel like it's unfair to rate these people that I've never seen before. Yours although, don't... I'm sure they're great.
No, they're all really, really nice, really cool. It's a really, really good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most people, my mom makes fun of me, but I honestly think most people would enjoy the show.
Okay.
Well, so you're not a big, huge TV guy, but
not a huge TV guy, but we'll see. You know, there may come a day where we give it a shot.
So, watch Queer Eye, watch the NBA playoffs. Let's check on Lakers before we sign off real quick. It's still half. Oh nope, 76-74. Nuggets came back.
Lakers
are up 2 with 1 minute left in the third. Appreciate everybody listening. Next week will be another big episode. We'll be further into the. Oh, we didn't talk about the lottery.
Oh, we did not talk about the lottery.
Do you want to do that real quick before we sign off?
Well, I think the only thing to say, because I don't think we've looked at the prospects yet.
The Spurs are the luckiest team in the league.
Yeah, man. I mean.
And the Hornets are the unluckiest.
Yeah. I mean.
Did you see the list of the number one picks the year the Hornets got the number two pick?
No, I didn't see
that. So Wembanyama now. But it was also Shaq, AD, Dwight Howard, and there was a fourth one. It was like a star.
Yeah.
And all of them, the Hornets got the number two pick those years.
That's crazy. Yeah, so I mean, so Duncan Robinson, then you get Tim Duncan, like, and he plays 1 year with Duncan Robinson, maybe two. And then Tim Duncan's been retired for 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, five-ish.
Five or six. Yeah. So, yeah, not a lot of time in between replacing him with another generational center, so...
Plus, they got three, in addition to the Wembanyama, they got 3 first-round picks from the Hawks. So, they'll be able to reload, I think, pretty quickly that roster.
That's crazy. And this pick is not a Hawks pick, correct?
This is the Spurs pick, because they were terrible.
This is the Spurs pick.
Man. Yeah. And so, the Pistons, who were the worst team in the league, got the 5th pick, which sucks for them.
Man, I tell you, looking at this, it's hard to think that giving up 3 first-round picks for DeJounte Murray makes a whole lot of sense.
I love DeJounte Murray. I agree, though, 100%.
Because, like, the Jazz only got 3 picks for Donovan Mitchell, you know?
Yeah.
Like.
I don't get it. And I get, like, the Trey window capitalize on that. I do really, really like DeJounte Murray. But, yeah, 3 picks is a lot. Quite a bit. I've never been like, the NFL is better than the Cowboys. I know you definitely don't agree with that.
Right.
Or, like, the NBA is better than the Knicks. I've never been one of those people, but I do think... And I think it's just nostalgia as much as anything, but like when the Spurs and the Lakers and the Mavericks are good, like those classic Western Conference teams, I think, like, who cares about if the Clippers are good? You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, because I don't hate the Clippers when they're good. I get frustrated and nervous about the Spurs.
No, yeah, I think it's, I love when, same thing, I don't even like the Spurs, but I think, and maybe it's just nostalgia because those were always the same teams when we were growing up that were good. And just watching them. I love rivalries going over and over again in the playoffs. The Warriors-Cavs 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. I don't get how anybody complained about that. No, I wish it was still Warriors-Cavs.
Yeah. So I like when teams are good enough over a long period of time they can develop rivalries. So hopefully the Spurs get good and they can get back to that.
Yeah.
Appreciate everybody listening. Again, 5-star review if you haven't given up, please do so. And we'll talk to y'all next week.